Yeah, it's not about one game. It's really about relationships. Obviously, Penn State, they have a good program, and they've got coaches, one coach in particular on their staff that is from the Detroit area and played in the public school league there and has connections with coaches there that he grew up with and they trust him. And so obviously, because they have a good program and they have connections and they have relationships, they're able to go in there and recruit players. And that's what a lot of recruiting is about. That it's about relationships and trust, because you have these young men that have been brought up through, Pee Wee, Pop Warner, elementary school, junior high, high school. They've been part of the community, and then they get to a point where they're been developed to be recruited by Power Five schools, and then they want those players to have the best chance, academically and athletically to succeed. And a lot of times, they'll send players to where they feel like they can trust the people there that are going to take care of them, just like they were their own children. When you're sending kids away from home. And so it's a lot about relationships. And so, we're working hard to build the relationships, not just here in the state, but, outside of our state, to be able to, get the players that we need to compete to win the Big Ten and get into the playoffs. We do have relationships in our state, and we have relationships outside of state, and we continue to build on those things, and everyone is looking to see, what's different about Michigan State now than in the past, and it doesn't necessarily have to be all about wins and losses. Being in the left-hand column certainly helps, but it's also, what people see in terms of, how the team is being handled, the accountability, and then what players that are on the team, what they're saying.
If you want to update more accurately, it's 4 questions total that are open to.
And it's also players that are in the program, what they're saying to people outside the program, what they're saying back home about what's going on inside the program. And that's really kind of how the word gets out. And then myself and our coaching staff, how we communicate with the high school coaches and with the players, and being authentic and being honest and upfront, and laying it out there and telling them what we have to offer. And it's competition. Recruiting is competition. And a lot of competition is about comparison. And so players and their families and their high school coaches are comparing us to these other schools, and they're making decisions on where they think their players, their student athletes will have the best chance.
As a follow-up to that, you mentioned on the radio show the other night that you guys haven't had face-to-face contact with these guys in the last couple of months. I guess, how has that – I mean, you talk about the difference in process. I mean, how much have you guys had to alter strategies in terms of, with signing day coming up next week, how to kind of identify these guys and also find out, like what Izzo says, is find your kind of guy.
Yeah, the identification process is the same. The evaluation process is relatively the same, except that you don't get to see the players live. You don't get the live evaluation. You're going on tape and what you see on videotape. We always take input from high school coaches or counselors or anyone that's involved with the player, was their parents or guardians or people in the community that have helped raise the kids and help develop them. And so, but we've had to do all of that on you know, text messages, phone calls, Zoom, and FaceTime. It's pretty much how we've done that. But you know, we've been at it since March. I mean, it's not anything that's new. It's just the way it is. That's what everyone's doing. And you know, again, if you want to sign 25 guys, it's about an 8-to-1 ratio. So you got to have at least 200 offers out there to do that. And but we offer well over 300 players for each class. And not only do we have an athletic evaluation and a score on players, which is, you know, you got the height, weight, you know, speed, you know, agility, balance and body control, contact balance, you know, ball skills, you know, change direction, all those types of things that you see athletically. You know, we evaluate that, but then we also have a fit score to go along with that that really evaluates the intangibles, you know, things that you don't necessarily see on tape, you know, and we have to talk to high school coaches. We have to talk to various people and ask these questions that, you know, are character related, or, you know, sometimes toughness related, or just certain things. And then we have an athletic score, and then we have a fit score, and then we weigh the two, and then we decide if this player is a player that's going to fit into our program for what we want to accomplish here. And then those players, we aggressively recruit them, you know. And there's no face-to-face interaction, but just like we do every week, you know, every Tuesday we get on a Zoom and you're asking me questions and I'm answering questions. And so you're evaluating me and my demeanor and how I answer questions and how I treat you with respect or not. And you're making a judgment on me and what type of person you think I am, what my competency level is. Do you think that you can trust me and what I'm saying? Do you think that I know what I'm talking about? Do you think that I'm worthy? Do you think that I can build a program? And you can do that through Zoom, you know, the best you can. And then that's what we're doing with recruiting. And then it would obviously be better if you could sit across from me face to face and do that, then you could probably get even a better feel for my body language or eye contact or certain things like that. And so because we can't do that, you know, it just makes it even more difficult. You have to put more effort into the connection. So that's why, like on these calls here, where normally we may be in the same room doing this, you know, I could be maybe more, bring more brevity to the situation and be more concise with the questions, with the answers. But since we're doing it like this on Zoom, and this is my first year here, and I know you guys are trying to get a feel for me, trying to get a feel for my program, after sometimes going to more detail and give more explanation about what's going on, just so you have the information that you need to do your job, and so that I can convey, you know, my message, you know, to the extent that's necessary.
Thanks, Mel.
Our next question will go to Lindsey Huddleston.
Thank you. Hey, Mel, you mentioned in your opening comments about acknowledging supporters. Most of us on this call on Sunday after the Western Michigan basketball game heard Tom Izzo pretty much stop the press conference and make a point to acknowledge you and ask for people to support you during this rebuilding time. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship with Tom Izzo and what it means to have him make a point to come out publicly to support you through your transition?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, Coach Izzo and I, you know, speak on a regular basis. You know, either we communicate by text or call. Sometimes, you know, he'll stop by and I'll get a chance to visit with him, or he'll, you know, he'll come to practice. I also talk to Coach Garland, you know, also talk to Dwayne, you know, coaches there. You know, I get calls from Cleves. You know, I get text messages from Steve. You know, I get texts and calls from Magic, you know, and that type of deal. So, you know, we have a connection. When I was here before in 97, Tom was here. You know, obviously I was a GA, but, you know, we spent a lot of time, you know, recruiting. We'd be in Nick's basement, you know, and so I got a chance to meet him, see him there. And then I would see him along throughout the years, like when we were at LSU, he'd come down there and check Coach Saban. I would see him there. You know, when Nick's daughter, you know, got married in Tuscaloosa, got a chance to see him there and some of the other Michigan State people. So, you know, we do have a relationship. And it's not a one-way street. You know, I reach out to him, he's reaching out to me, and we're always constantly talking. I feel like we see a lot of things the same way, you know, just about toughness and hard coaching, you know, and not making excuses and finding a way to get it done, you know, and being appreciative of the opportunity that we do have, and never relaxing and always fighting and being basically bootstrappers, you know. And so, you know, I support him and everything he's doing, and he supports me. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to know, you know, during the process of looking at this opportunity is, you know, where was Coach Izzo on this with me? You know, because, you know, quite frankly, you know, in order for me to be successful here, you know, I feel like I want and need his support, you know, because he's been here so long. He's done so many great things. You know, he's a Hall of Fame coach. You know, I can learn a lot from him, and getting support from him, you know, goes a long way for me and for my program, for my coaching staff. And so I really appreciate that. I don't think he would support me if he didn't believe in me, because he's not that type of guy.
Got it. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Matt Charbonneau with the Detroit News.
Hey, Mel. You brought up consistency a lot, and something you guys have yet to attain this year. And I'm wondering, can you pinpoint some of the biggest reasons why it's hard to get that consistency? Is it a new staff? Is it inexperienced players? And what's the key, or what's the best way to try and, you know, improve that as you go along to start to get that consistency?
Yeah, well, there's basically four levels of competency. Okay, and the first level is you don't know, and you don't know you don't know. So that's where you start. You get past that, and then you get to the point where you don't know, but you know you don't know, okay? And that's when the players start to realize, okay, I don't know exactly what I thought that I knew, but I realized that, so now I want to be coached. And then they're hungry for the information. You know, they're hungry for the coaching. They want you to pour into them, because they realize they don't know how to do it, okay? But they know that you can teach them, and then they're really bought in, and they're digging in. Okay, then the next level of competency is, you know, they do know, and they do know they're having success, but they don't know why. They're not exactly sure why a play was successful or why they were able to get the job done. They just know that it happened. And in that level, that third level of competency, is that they're doing the right, they're often doing the right things, often doing the right behaviors, and that creates some success, but they're not exactly sure thoroughly why they're having the success. And so when you're at that point, then it's hard to repeat it, because you don't know why you had the success. You don't know the details. So it's hard to repeat it, and it's hard to teach it to someone else, and it's hard to share. And that's where and that makes it hard to lead. Okay. So, and then the last level is the fourth level is you know, you do know, and you know why you know. Okay. And so, but even at that point, even if you know what to do and you know why it's important to do it that way and you understand it, you still have to do it. You still have to do it. So I can give you an example like nutrition, okay? We have a great understanding of, from a nutrition standpoint, like what I should, if I wanna be fit, you know, and I wanna, and I don't, maybe I don't wanna be overweight or I wanna be healthier, I know what I should eat and what I shouldn't eat, and I know why, but I still have to make the decision on a daily basis. And that's not, as we know, that's not always easy to do. So then that's where the consistency comes in. So right now we're somewhere between level 3 and level 4 with certain guys. And that's why we have to continue to teach, motivate, and develop so guys understand fully, you know, have the discipline to do their jobs, know what they're supposed to do, know how to do it, when to do it, why it's important to do it that way, do it on a consistent basis, you know, and it becomes habit, and that becomes it's behavior, it's day-to-day behavior, which is culture. It's how we live day to day. And so that's a process, you know, and it takes time. And so that's why we see inconsistency. And the only way to become more consistent is to continue to, you know, hammer on those things, those fundamental things, go over and over and over and over again, change the stimulus, change the drill, find a different way to emphasize the same thing, show them NFL film, you know, showing them doing it right, showing them doing it wrong, you know, whatever it is, come to them in a different way, delivery of information. Maybe it's video, maybe it's more walkthrough, maybe it's on paper, whatever it is, capturing guys' minds so you can get more consistency so they can understand and they can repeat it and have the confidence to be able to do it no matter who they're playing, no matter who the opponent is, and having the confidence to do that. So that's where we are. And that's where the work comes in. And that's why it's a process. And it is not easy, but we know what we need to do. We know how we need to do it. We just have to continue to hammer at it. And then recruiting is a big part of that as well. And so that's how we get there, you know. And we're built for that. That's what this staff is built to do. You know, so we knew it wasn't going to be easy. You know, but that's the challenge, and you know, that's you know, you better love it, because if you don't love it, and that's not the type of challenge you want, then it's not the situation for you.
Do you lump in some of the discipline things with that, like some of the penalties, especially we saw last week? Is that part of it too, of knowing where that line is of going too far, playing hard, and then not being disciplined on a penalty?
Yeah, that's a part of it as well. It's like, you know, I showed the players a plan of the playing field yesterday, and we're going to pass out one to every single player today that shows the playing field and the dimensions of the field. You know, from the sideline to the bottom of numbers is 7 yards, to the top of the numbers is 9 yards. You know, between the hashes and 10 is 10 yards. The hash marks are 1 yard, 13 and a third between the hashes. And all that. So if I'm tackling a guy and I'm driving a guy, you know, I need to have awareness of where I am on the field. And once I get to the numbers, I know I got about 7 more yards to go before I get to the sideline, which is about 3 or 4 more steps, you know. And just having awareness of where you're on the field and being alert to the whistle and things like that, and then knowing when to pull off. So that's all about, you know, teach, you know, motivate, develop, and everything. And then you confront and demand guys. You confront guys when they do it, when they don't do it right, and you demand that they do it right. But you also have to try to find ways to give them more tools so that they can understand. And so, you know, that's part of coaching. But I do like aggressive play, and we categorize our penalties. You know, we have foolish penalties. You know, we have aggressive penalties, and like pre-snap penalties, jumping off sides. You got 12 guys on the field. You know, false starts. You know, illegal formations, pre-snap penalties. You know, those things right there, you know, you shouldn't ever have those. Those are just, that's just dumb. You know, that's just a total lack of discipline. Then you get aggressive penalties, okay? Maybe it's a pass interference, or maybe you might get a offensive hold where a guy's straining to sustain a block. Or maybe you might get a late hit on the quarterback that's a bang, bang, something, and it's a judgment call or something like that. And when you get those, then, and they're aggressive penalties, then you have to coach through those through technique, you know, maybe better technique or better understanding. And then you work through those things. And so we categorize those penalties, and we address them as such. And, you know, this particular, our penalties had gone down. You know, we were, I think, maybe Northwestern, maybe we had 46 yards and, like, you know, total yardage loss on penalties. But this past week, we were up over 100 yards in penalties, you know. And so what is that attributed to, you know? And then we break everyone down, we address them, and then we move forward. But every 100 yards in penalties is about 7 points, you know. So, you know, penalties, you know, will get you beat, you know, especially, you know, dumb penalties, and then aggressive penalties we're going to coast through. I'd rather coast through aggressive penalties, okay, than some of those other type of penalties, because we can fix those.
Thanks, Mel.
Our next question will go to Matt Wenzel with M Live.
Hey, Mel, following Saturday's game, you said you didn't have an update on Rocky. I was wondering if you do now, his status for this week and the direction at quarterback with Peyton and what he showed this past week.
Yeah, he seemed to be doing better yesterday. And so we're evaluating everything. We're going to go through today, and hopefully I'm anticipating sometime by the end of the day tomorrow, we'll know, you know, who we're going to go with. And then we'll do that. But we're still in the evaluation process right now.
And obviously with the NCAA giving everybody an extra year, I was wondering, are there any seniors you expect to have back for another year next season?
Yeah, there are some that may come back, but we'll just have to see, because, you know, everyone's going to make a decision what's based upon their best interest. And that's kind of how it goes nowadays. And so, you know, it's really a fluid process, and, you know, we'll take it on an individual basis, and then we'll make decisions on those guys. Guys will make decisions if they want to come back or not. You know, it's just a collaborative effort, and it's communication. And so, you know, we'll just have to see.
And if you don't mind, real another quick one. Just how many you expect most of your guys, your recruits in the 21 class, to sign next Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, the indication is most of the guys that are committed, you know, will sign. But you know, we'll just have to see. You know, recruiting is fluid, and you never know until you know. You know, and you know, they're not signed until they're signed. You know, but we're willing to fight for our guys, for the guys we want, you know, through the 16th and beyond, all the way through to February, all the way into the 11th hour. You know, the hay is never in the barn. So, we're not adverse to competing and fighting for guys. It's not it's not okay just to say, oh, well, he doesn't want to come, so we'll go to the next guy. If that's the guy that we want, we feel like we can still get him, then we need to fight for him and try to get the guy. And then if we can't get the guy, then we go to the next guy, but we're going to fight for guys. You know, I like to get as many guys signed in December as we can, and then you know, we'll go from there. We do have a plan in terms of, you know, how we're going to address, you know, transfers in the portal as well, because the portal is a viable market to be able to help your team. And so we're also aggressively, you know, evaluating the portal and who's available there on a day-to-day basis. That's a big part of what we do in recruiting.
Thanks, Mel.
Yep, you're welcome.
Our next question will go to John of the Detroit Sports Podcast.
Hey, Mel, good afternoon. I'm curious, you talked about the coaching staff put together by Coach Franklin. I'm just curious about your general impressions of Coach Brent Pry's defense and what challenges they may present to your offense.
These guys, you know, those guys fly around and they got a good pressure package. You know, they seem to be able to, you know, play to the strength of their players, and they're able to mix some coverages and things like that. And they seem to be, you know, growing and getting better. I mean, you know, you look at Coach Franklin, you know, he's a guy. I mean, the guy's really, really smart, obviously. He's got good experience, you know, and, you know, he's had success. And, you know, you're not gonna be on his staff. You're not gonna coach for him if you don't know what you're doing. You know, so, you know, all the guys that he has on the staff are good coaches that are competent guys, that know ball, they know how to coach, they know how to recruit. And so, you know, that's what a good staff should be about, and he has that. So they present some challenges and they're aggressive, you know, and we'll have to find ways to put our guys in a position where we can make plays, where we can possess the ball, and where we can put points on the board.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question will go to Jason Hutton with Fox 17.
Hey, Coach. I'm just wondering what Tyler Hunt has meant to your team this year. You don't often see a punter converted to tight end, and he's got a lot of playing time for you guys this year.
Yeah, I like Tyler. You know, he's athletic. You know, he's quick. You know, he's fast. He's a willing blocker. He gives excellent effort. You know, and he competes. And obviously, we needed some help with that position. That position, we were extremely thin there. And so, you know, Coach Gilmore has worked, you know, very hard to you know, really teach him how to play that position. And you know, he's gotten himself to a point where we feel comfortable putting him in the game, and he's going, you know, he's targeted, and also, you know, he gives great effort in terms of blocking and things like that, and the guy works extremely hard. I have a lot of respect, you know, for him and what he's done and the way he goes about his business and the way he works. I mean, his care factor is high. You know, like, you know, if it, on a scale from 1 to 10 of caring, and if 1 is you don't care very much, and 10, you know, it's very important to you and you care a whole bunch. Like, he's a 10 on his care factor. And so, you know, you can work with guys like that. Like I said, you know, this is when I got here on February 12th, I told the guys, I said, listen, everybody's got a clean slate, you know, and, you know, it's, you know, we're going to play the best players, and everyone's got an opportunity to show what they can do. We don't care if you're a freshman, a senior, you're a walk-on, you're on scholarship. You know, if you love football, I like you. If you're willing to, if you're willing to run and hit, and you're coachable, you know, we'll do everything we can to find a role for you and he's a guy that, you know, has worked himself into a role.